I'm going to talk to y'all today about something we did to try to address a problem we were seeing at our health department, and hopefully encourage other folks to use this method as well. So first off, to tell you what the problem was, we just see that we don't really ever meet our expected case numbers for perinatal hepatitis B in Philadelphia, which range from with the old criteria anywhere from 132 up to 230 with the new criteria. And this greatly bothers our perinatal hepatitis B coordinator to no end. And those of you who know him would understand why we'd act on it. And so basically the second issue that came up is that he also noted that we were having a drop-off in case referrals to his program, as you can see in the graph on the bottom. And so since 2005 we had a high year, but since then it's dropped off. So he was actually relating this to our division director at our coffee machine, which is behind my cubicle. And so they kind of yelled over and said, can you do anything with all the data you have to help deal with this? So I said, yeah, sure, let's try to figure it out. So basically, to give you a little background on how things work in our Division of Disease Control, which is our Infectious Disease Surveillance and Control Unit, because I'm sure it's different in other program areas, just to let you know how it works for us. Our acute communicable disease program receives surveillance data. We're really a lab-based system. We get our reports from laboratories electronically, by fax, by phone, by paper, from our state NED system. And so this is the same for hepatitis B. And so for women who are have reports that are surface antigen positive, E antigen positive, or DNA, and they're between ages of 12 and 40 years old, our disease investigators in our acute CD program, and we have three of them at the time of this start of this investigation, they would contact providers and try to find out the status of the women, or they would contact the women themselves if they can't get in touch with the provider to see if the women are pregnant. So those that are found to be pregnant would get referred to our coordinator for follow-up, making sure to meet all the criteria, the vaccination, the HBIG, and the serology after for the newborns, and then also vaccinate and educate close contacts. So back to the problem, basically what we decided to do was a capture-recapture, which is basically seeing if we can find missing cases in different data sets that we had available to us by overlaying these different data sets. So first off, we use birth certificate data that we get from the state. We actually get the data in order to seed our immunization registry, our kids registry. We decided to look just at 2008. And in Philadelphia, there's about 23,500 births per year. This is actually still not it's a provisional data set still. But so we started off as that as one of our limiting. So we're only going to look at births in 2008. So for our coordinator monitoring database, he had followed 98 women who gave birth in 2008. And then our surveillance data, we actually decided to be much more broad. We actually included any HBV test report that came in between 2001 and 2009, so before and after our period of interest. We didn't restrict on age, we didn't restrict on sex, we didn't restrict on test type, except for no antibody testing. So we really wanted to see if we could capture anybody else, and that'll come up a little bit later. So then to match, basically what we did is we matched separately the perinatal hepatitis B monitoring data and the surveillance data, both to our birth certificate data. And we considered a match to all three to be, if the surveillance data and the perinatal hep B data both matched to a birth certificate record. We did this matching using a function in SAS and then just reviewing manual line lists. We were pretty conservative about matches because we knew we were going to be doing some follow-up on this. And the variables that we used were mother's information, name, date of birth, residential address, and if it was available, we used child's name and date of birth as well. And just to give kind of an overview of what kind of a schematic of capture-recapture, for this analysis, we're really limiting to any record that matches a birth certificate in 2008. We had plenty of hepatitis B surveillance data that did not match a 2008 birth certificate, but we really wanted to focus on those that we had birth certificates on and knew we could follow up on. And there's the potential that our perinatal monitoring data could also not match our birth certificate data, but in this year we actually were good for that. So to go to results, what did we find? Basically, we had in these two hepatitis data sets 227 unique records that matched to our birth certificates. So of those, 96 or 42% were in both our surveillance data and in our monitoring data, so in our coordinator tracking database. So that's a good number, but we also found 129 that were in our surveillance data that matched to the birth certificate, but were not being tracked by our coordinator. He didn't know about them. So, and we also, just to explain, the two, he also finds out sometimes, he gets a direct phone call from somebody saying, I have, an infant born that you should know about, and so that's how we got the other two. So I'm going to really focus now on the 129. What were reasons behind why we didn't get these? So we broke them out into internal issues for us, internal to the health department, and external issues. In internal issues, there were 67, and of those, we had 15 that were women that were just unable to locate it. And so this is the investigator in the acute communicable disease program saying we couldn't locate these women. Other problems with referral to our coordinator included the paperwork just never got to the investigator, all the way up to the investigator actually found out that the woman was pregnant, and it didn't get referred to our coordinator. So we knew we had a lot of internal work to do on working on this process. External issues, which was about half of our pie here, of our 129, included not having a test reported during pregnancy. Again, with our hepatitis B surveillance data, we were very broad about what we included as far as test type and years of test data that we included. So it could have been that they matched because they had a test before this pregnancy, the 2008, when they delivered, or after even in 2009. And then there were a number of women who also had a test during their pregnancy, but it wasn't one of the tests that we were looking at. So I'm going to first talk about what we've done to try to follow up on these two different specific sets of women, and then talk about what we're doing to try to help this process and improve things in the future. So first off, with the 67 women who we knew had a case-defining test and got lost in our system, of those, four are pending final serum collection. 12, the family or the mother moved, or the infant is deceased. But 51, we actually have complete serologies on. Of those, none are surface antigen positive, which is very nice. 49 are immune. And two were found to be susceptible still, but Bruce, our coordinator, has revaccinated them, and we're waiting to do the serologies again. So then the other side of our pie, the 62 women, who didn't necessarily have a case-defining test, or they had a non-case-defining test during the pregnancy, or they didn't have a test during their pregnancy. What we have planned to do is chart review of these records to see kind of where things fell apart. Did they have the test and we didn't get it reported? Did they, and find out if it's at certain providers' practices, just different investigations to figure out what was really going on. And we were starting this when H1N1 happened, and most of us ended up working on H1N1, which I know is a repeated theme here, so we're going to get back to it. We also know that we need to do outreach and education with our providers, because we have a number of people who just aren't doing the right tests, aren't doing tests during pregnancy when they should be. So just working on that. We actually have a hepatitis coordinator in our acute communicable disease program, and he started in the past 8 or 9 months, and so he has that on his list of things that he needs to start working on. Okay, so then to deal with some of our internal issues, and this is for kind of the future and how to make things better, we wanted to obviously improve our internal investigation and referral process for getting the cases to our coordinator. So we decided that any test result we got on a woman 12 to 40 years of age would be investigated by our disease investigators. So they'd have to call, and follow up if the woman was pregnant or not. And that right now, or back before, it was about 450 to 600 cases that they'd have to follow up on. And this isn't going to increase the numbers very much, probably more to like 700 to 800 cases to be investigated. We also added a disease investigator with a specific Hep B focus. All the investigators, so we have four investigators, all of them have to do this kind of investigation, but she really does a majority of the phone calls. And then we conducted education with our investigators to remind them why this is important, why it needs to be done timely, what exactly they need to do. And to deal with the unable to locate issue, we started to use LexisNexis to try to find some of our unable to locate women in this situation. And I don't think this is actually being implemented very well. You'll see that in a second. So I need to actually kind of push that again. And later this summer, we're actually going to be launching a new surveillance database for the acute CD program. And that actually includes a number of monitoring cues, checking up on cases, making sure they're not just getting lost, which we were having a lot of with just using paperwork. So with that, we hope that'll help improve the process as well. And for my unit, we said we would promise to repeat this capture-recapture analysis every 6 months to help identify cases and to see how we were doing in as far as the problems that were with our cases and who was being lost where. So to follow up on that a little bit and show you what we've seen in 2009, this is what we've seen. So we had 240 unique records that matched to the birth certificate this time, which is a higher number than in 2008, a little bit. And we had 55% that were in both the Hep B surveillance data and in the perinatal hepatitis B coordinator tracking data, which is up from 42%, which is excellent. We still had 44% that were just in our surveillance data and not in the tracking data. So, and to look at those 106 that weren't in the perinatal Hep B tracking data, to do the same kind of pie, you can see that before it was split almost evenly between internal issues and external issues, now there's a lot less internal. Our specifically, problems with our referral and investigation have dropped a lot. It's almost half. It was 52 cases were in that category before, and now we're down to 28. We still have the same number of women unable to locate, so that's why I think they're not using LexisNexis to try to find these cases. And then we still have same kind of distribution of external issues, and we haven't done anything yet specifically to deal with this, so we know this is really what we need to do. So in conclusion, if the data are available and if you have a staff of at least even one epidemiologist, I would think that this is something that can be done at your health department to try to find additional cases that have been missed. It's not actually that labor-intensive to do it for an epidemiologist. It identifies a large number of missed cases. It can be regularly repeated to find additional cases. And it, nicely, which we didn't really kind of expect at the beginning, we could highlight what was going on internally and externally and really figure out how to deal with this issue because of doing this analysis. And just to show you what we've really seen from this, in the gray bars are traditional surveillance cases. And you've seen even in 2009, that's increased, which shows a little bit of our internal process improvement because the referral process is working better. We found a number of cases through our capture-recapture that weren't found any other way in 2008. It's the red and a little bit smaller in 2009. And then in the pink are the potential cases. We know there's some actual cases in there. These are the ones that had either inappropriate tests or during pregnancy or tests before that we need to follow up on still and figure out what's going on with them. So we're getting towards our goals and almost into our goals, which is very nice. And we'll make our coordinator much happier. So to really acknowledge the folks who did this work, Liyuan and Robbie and the EPI unit did all of the analysis. And then Bruce Barlow, our hepatitis coordinator, you know, without him we wouldn't have done this. And then also all the folks in the Acute CD program who do the work day to day to do the follow-up and try to find these cases. And if anyone needs the SAS code, it's in SAS. That's what we use. But if anyone wants it, please feel free to contact me.